Welcome to Anomaly Supplemental. This is Sue. The following podcast was originally released in June 2012, but Casey and I thought it would be the perfect time to bring it out of the archives since we are now in the 50th anniversary year of Star Trek. Plus, it's one of my personal favorites. Enjoy! Yeah, I wouldn't go for the description of hot necessarily for Data. I might reserve that for Captain Picard at times.
You see, I wouldn't reserve for Captain Picard either. I would reserve dashing for Captain Picard.
Well, see, but maybe it's because I watched Generations or parts of Generations yesterday and he was wearing that naval uniform. That was attractive.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
I have been a nerd since long before I could have heard that bookish girls should look and act a certain way. And I'll still be a geek when I am utterly antique because I do not care what normal people say.
Hi, this is Casey. I'm 4 degrees away from Brent Spiner, and I am an anomaly.
I'm Sue. My first celebrity crush was on Brent Spiner, and I am an anomaly.
So cute.
It's true.
So adorable. So today we're going to be talking about Data from Star Trek TNG. This is going to be one of our first of hopefully many character studies.
Character studies are hard.
They are. They are so hard. Because your notes for this episode were so long.
Yeah, they were pretty long.
They were pages and pages long, and it isn't until today that we cut it down to, what, 2 or 3 pages? No, 4, 5.
Four or five. Even when they were longer, they were certainly not comprehensive. There is a ton of stuff out there, because Data quickly became one of the most popular characters on TNG, so was clearly featured in most of the episodes throughout each season. Mm-hmm. So we're certainly going to be not mentioning everything that happened. So if we leave out your favorite part, please don't yell at us. And really, it's your own fault if we left out your favorite part and you didn't send an audio comment, so.
Yep.
Shields up, red alert. Spoilers decloaking off the starboard bow. Yeah, that was a warning.
So Data, we learn a lot of his backstory as we go throughout the series, but the large chunk of it comes in the 7th season, which is kind of funny if you think about it. You hear a lot about his early life from his mother at the end of the series. Data was the 5th of 6 known androids built by Dr. Noonien Soong, and he was created on Omicron Theta after his brother Lore. Lore was deactivated because he was too human, according to himself. And Data was built to put some more distinction between the humans of the colony and the androids. Mm-hmm. His development, as it's described in the episode Inheritance of the 7th season, is very much like a child, where he didn't really understand modesty or social norms, and Dr. Soong would be making adjustments to his programming rather than making corrections by parenting. So it's kind of an interesting parallel that happens there. And then the crystalline entity, which we see with Lore, I forget which episode it's in, attacked the colony of Omicron Theta, and Data was left behind with his memory wiped because they were going to put the memories of the colonists into him, and then was found by the USS Tripoli in 2338. I sound like the biggest nerd right now.
That is the point. Continue.
So after that time, Data felt, I guess you can call it an obligation to Starfleet, or maybe it's gratefulness or thankfulness to Starfleet, and applied for Starfleet Academy and was opposed only by Bruce Maddox, who is the guy you see in Measure of a Man, who wants to disassemble Data to study him. Mm-hmm. And the grounds of that protest, as was stated in Measure of a Man, was that he was not a sentient being. But Maddox lost, and Data was admitted to Starfleet Academy in 2341 and completed all 4 years there. So you would think, as an android, he would go through the program on an accelerated course, but I guess not. Then we meet Data. He still seems kind of new and unused to interactions with humans and social norms when we meet him on the Enterprise with Encounter at Farpoint.
I think one of the more interesting quotes from Farpoint, and there's a lot of Farpoint I can't watch, is when Riker calls him Pinocchio. And that seems to be a theme throughout the series and also throughout the movies, where Data is striving to be, quote-unquote, a real boy.
When the captain suggested you, I looked up your record.
Yes, sir. A wise procedure, sir, always.
Then your rank of lieutenant commander is honorary.
No, sir. Starfleet class of 78, honors in probability mechanics and exobiology.
But your file says that you're a
machine, correct, sir. Does that trouble you?
To be honest, yes. A little.
Understood, sir. Prejudice is very human.
Well, that does trouble me. Do you consider yourself superior to us?
I am superior, sir, in many ways. But I would gladly give it up to be human.
Nice to meet you, Pinocchio.
It's his quest for humanity that I think is what kept a lot of viewers coming back.
It's how Data approaches trying to figure out what makes someone human that makes the audience kind of ask those same questions. So as Data is exploring different aspects of humanity, I think that makes us question it, or at least think about it as well.
Yeah, for sure. I always find this idea fascinating, but Gene Roddenberry and Brent Spiner, in a behind-the-scenes whatever, they talked about the importance of Data being kind of like a child, very childlike. And you can see that in Brent Spiner's performance. And what's funny is that the people who Data kind of hangs around the most, as far as, you know, other characters go, seems to be Wesley and Geordi. And I think they're the youngest members of the cast.
And Geordi is certainly the most casual.
Yeah.
A season one episode called Hide and Q. It's the episode where Q ends up trying to give Riker the powers of the Q. And Riker is trying to convince the rest of the senior staff that this is a good thing by giving them what they always wanted. And he tries to give Data the gift of becoming human, but Data refuses. And he says it would just be an illusion because he didn't get there himself.
Mm-hmm.
Data. No. No, sir. But it's what you've always wanted, Data. To become human.
Yes, sir. That is true. But I never wanted to compound one illusion with another. It might be real to Q. Perhaps even you, sir. But it would never be so to me.
One of the more interesting characters that I'm not too familiar with is Lore, who is Data's brother. And the fact that he's more emotionally aware than Data is, I'm sure it was great for Brent Spiner to play, because I'm pretty sure it's hard to just be that relaxed all the time. And whereas with Lore, you can truly react to dialogue.
Yeah, Lore is quite the interesting character and is really the opposite of Data in a lot of ways. And in his first episode in Data Lore, he clearly shows disdain for humanity. And I think that comes from the way the colonists on Omicron Theta treated him. Mm-hmm. And he questions Data's want to become like these people, saying instead that he should feel superior to them. And he should be giving them orders, not taking them from humans.
And it's interesting to see that idea play out, because both Data and Lore for the past 20 years or so, have kind of been staples in robot and AI lore. You have the robot who's yearning to be more human, and then you have the robot who sees the flaws of man and thinks that man should be destroyed, and the robot should rise.
And Laura, every time he shows up, is really out for himself. He disables Data, he attacks Dr. Soong, and it's all for his own advancement, if you can call it that. Whereas Data has a desire to do the right thing, or to please humans, or to follow orders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting to see Brent Spiner play both of those characters, playing both ends of that spectrum. Mm-hmm. Because there are some episodes where he's playing not only Data and Lore, but Dr. Soong as well.
Because the great thing about Brent Spiner is that, for the most part, especially as Data in TNG, he's a blank slate. Then, you know, you add characters like Lore, and you add a little bit of color, and then Dr. Soong, and then I just recently watched Masks the other day.
Yes.
Seeing various characters in this dead civilization just coming out in him, it's like, well, you're impressive, sir.
He is a phenomenal actor.
Oh, also, some behind-the-scenes trivia. When Brent Spiner was auditioning, he asked the casting director or his agent, or I think the casting director, so, this is a robot, right? Do they want me to play it more as a man or as a machine? And the casting director said, no, just play it as a man. I think that's what they want. And the casting and Brent Spiner said, cool. So he prepares his work, and then he gets to the audition, and the casting director, right before he goes in, is just like, okay, they've changed their mind. They want you to play it as a machine. They want you to play it more of a robot. And Brent Spiner went, you know, I'm not interested in that. I wasn't prepared for this, and maybe you should just consider somebody else. And this casting director was so determined for him to read that after all this hubbub, trying to get him to read for Riker and stuff, she finally came out and said, okay, just read as you prepared the character. And of course he got it.
No, he's not a Riker.
He knew immediately, I am not a Riker.
It's so hard to choose favorite moments of Data and his exploring of humanity, because those are certainly my favorite parts. I mean, Data is featured all the time, but it is his exploration of what it means to be human that has always intrigued me the most. There are just so many instances of it, but I think one of my favorites is in Unification, when he's talking to Spock, because he was, even before that point, was often compared those two characters, Spock and Data. But they're speaking, and the conversation is basically that Spock has always tried to suppress his humanity, and that is what Data has been striving for.
Intrigues me. This Picard.
In what manner, sir?
Remarkably analytical and dispassionate for a human. I understand why my father chose to mind meld with him. There's an almost Vulcan quality to the man.
Interesting. I had not considered that. And Captain Picard has been a role model in my quest to be more human.
More human?
Yes, Ambassador.
Fascinating. You have an efficient intellect, superior physical skills, no emotional impediments. There are Vulcans who aspire all their lives to achieve what you've been given by design.
You are half human.
Yes.
Yet you have chosen a Vulcan way of life.
I have.
In effect, you have abandoned what I have sought all my life.
I think that's really interesting. That scene between Spock and Data is just a part that I really like.
It explores the aspect, I think, a little bit of not being satisfied with what you have, but wanting something, not necessarily something more, but something different.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of the dichotomy between repression and expression, because when we're kids, we're encouraged to repress a lot of our energy and our expression so that we can be quiet and pay attention in class, listen to our parents, and for the most part, be good. But for those of us who are more in the arts industry, we're more used to, you know, people encouraging us to be expressive and energetic. And I think that's where Data is, that's what Data is trying to strive for, because that's just something he was naturally created for. Not naturally, technologically created for. So that's an interesting social commentary.
Yeah.
I think. My favorite part, for one thing, I really like it when Data is, like, his relationships with any woman in the fleet, where he is just completely in his own little world, because that's all he's familiar with. I think the relationship that I like the most is between himself and Tasha Yar, and I think I like it more after Tasha dies, because one of my favorite parts is Measure of a Man, where he's put on standby Picard, and he turns on the little hologram of Tasha, and Picard tries to get him to talk about it, and Data says, "I promised her I wouldn't talk about that." And it just shows the amount of respect he had for her and the affection, and it was so sweet.
That's the thing, you see little, almost like chinks in the armor, mm-hmm. in a way, little bits of emotion throughout the series, even before there's an emotion chip involved in the story, or he actually installs it in Generations, that there's some kind of affection towards Tasha Yar. There's a desire for humanity. There's an appreciation of art and music and story. I keep thinking, as I've been going over notes and things, isn't that emotion? Isn't friendship emotion? So I think that maybe Data has always had a little bit more emotion than he's ever realized or ever acknowledged, at least.
Yeah. But we also have to realize is that he's continually referred to as an android. He identifies himself as an android. So, of course, he wouldn't identify those emotions naturally. And also, I don't think anyone truly pays attention to what he's really saying. And they're surely not reading into it as much as we are.
No, clearly.
I wonder if they truly listened to what was going on, that they would see different sides of that character. And in your notes, you point this out, and that's why I want to bring it up. This is also one of my favorite parts. I might like it more than his moment in the courtroom talking about Tasha. It's the moment in The Offspring when Lal is dying.
You must say goodbye now.
I feel.
What do you feel, Mom?
I love you, Father.
I wish I could feel it with you.
I will feel it for both of us. Thank you for my life.
That is what we're talking about.
Isn't that remorse?
Yeah.
Or desire or disappointment? Those are all emotions.
They are. And it's funny how Data could create an android like himself who becomes sentient and is completely capable of human emotion. So, of course he's capable of that. I think he came very, very close to being a human, with the exception of, you know, what's inside of him. Mm-hmm. Just the idea that something made of circuits and processors and wires could be capable of thinking for themselves and feeling is something that is inspiring.
TNG several times brings up the idea of what is life and what is sentience, which is discussed in many of the Data episodes. But they never really ask what is human. And I guess my question there is really, what's the difference? If it's established that Data is alive and sentient, what is preventing him from being human? What is it the consciousness that makes you human? Is it the physical body that makes you human?
It's an interesting question to ask ourselves. He can read emotion. He can read what people are thinking on their faces. And he can register emotion. I honestly think he's feeling things and he doesn't know how to recognize them. And it's not until the chip is put in that he can put a name and a facial expression to everything. That's my theory.
That's pretty neat. The one thing I do find interesting about Data's relationships, not necessarily with women, but just in general, is that after that whole business with Commander Maddox, twice after the Academy and after Measure of a Man, he continues to help him in his research. So there are no hard feelings there, and he understands this guy's want to learn more about his creation, I guess, and his schematics. It's kind of glanced over, but that's what Data's Day is all about. The letter he's writing is to Commander Maddox, and he's very conversational with him and telling him about, you know, his relationships with the crew and Keiko and O'Brien's wedding and learning to dance and experimenting with friendly jabs. He calls Geordi a lunkhead, which is adorable. And that whole episode is really about his interaction with humans.
Mm-hmm. I find that idea very fascinating, especially after listening to the Measure of a Man episode of Anomaly, because they describe Maddox as one of the best villains of Star Trek.
Yeah, and he has a friend 2 years later.
It's a testament to Gene Roddenberry saying, I don't want there to be a lot of conflict between the members of Starfleet.
He's not looking for personal conflicts. He's looking for kind of universal ones.
It's universal conflicts that we're dealing with now. People in the future, are dealing with it in a very different way than how we deal with it now. Like any civil rights stuff that has occurred within the past 50 to 100 years would be handled very differently by a future like Star Trek.
And there's a lot of that happens with Data's character. I mean, not only Measure of a Man, which is probably cited the most often, but later in the series, during the Klingon Civil War, Data is assigned to captain one of the other ships in the fleet, and his first officer opposes him, basically on the grounds that he's an android. Mm-hmm. And Data could buckle and allow him to transfer off the ship, but he just says no. He just doesn't allow it to bother him. I guess it can't, really, if he has no emotions. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't let that be an excuse. Also, even later, during the episode with the exocomps, these little tools that someone's created and he believes have life and have sentience, he's fighting for them because Picard and Riker fought for him a few years earlier in Measure of a Man. So he sees what he has been granted and what has been done for him, and he wants to do that for others.
Mm-hmm.
And then in other Star Treks, Voyager mentions him several times when they come across an artificial life form in season 2, and then also the Doctor's struggle for holographic rights very much mirrors what Data went through. But we see it during Voyager, a lot of the Mark 1 EMHs are working in a mine, so they didn't really have the type of advocates that Data did.
Honestly, that's why I love this series, but more importantly, it's why I love Data. I love his journey to become more human, but I also love that he recognizes what equality is and what it should be.
It's very interesting that in Insurrection, you know, Data kind of goes nuts at the beginning, but it's because he gets shot by a weapon that messes up his neural network. And he goes into this self-preservation mode that the only thing that's controlling him are ethical and moral subroutines. So the only thing he knows when the rest of him is damaged is the difference between right and wrong. And I think it's interesting that at the very base level, that's what's programmed to take over.
And we have to talk about First Contact, of course, because that's one of my favorite Star Trek movies. Because the B-plot with Data, what I love about that relationship, and I've mentioned it before on the podcast, back when we were talking about Slings and Arrows, my favorite play by Shakespeare is Macbeth. And that's very much what that relationship between the Borg Queen and Data is. The Borg Queen is Lady Macbeth, and she's trying to turn Data into Macbeth.
By First Contact, Data has the ability, he's implanted the emotion chip, and he has the ability to turn his emotions on and off at will. And I could have sworn that there was a scene with Geordi specifically, like it exists in my head, where Geordi points out to him that it isn't that kind of cheating. And I think maybe I made that up. Maybe that was just me that had that thought. I mean, he had a confrontation in the previous movie in Generations with Picard when the emotion chip was malfunctioning and he wanted to relieve himself of duty. Picard tells him that part of being human and having emotions is learning how to deal with them.
No, sir. I simply do not have the ability to control these emotions.
Data, I have nothing but sympathy for what you are feeling. But right now, I need you to...
Sir, I no longer want these emotions. Deactivating me is the only viable solution.
Part of having feelings is learning to integrate them into your life, Data. Learning to live with them no matter
sir,
what the circumstances.
I cannot.
You will not be deactivated. You're an officer on board this ship, and I require you to perform your duty. That is an order, Commander.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes it takes courage to try to. And courage can be an emotion, too.
When the emotion trip is working correctly, if part of its correct functioning is that Data can turn his emotions off, I feel like that's cheating a little bit. I mean, maybe the chip was so overwhelming for Data because he didn't have a lifetime of dealing with emotions. Maybe it's an in-between step that if he doesn't, if he thinks it would be too overwhelming, if he wouldn't be able to deal with it, he could turn it off.
Yeah.
But that's the ability to adjust the settings on the emotion chip have always annoyed me a little bit as someone with anxiety. I can't turn off my anxiety attack. So why should Data be able to turn off his fear or his sadness or anything else?
But I can kind of forgive it in First Contact because the Borg Queen is trying to convince Data that he's better than the humans he's working with.
Yeah, it's certainly something that's there, I think, for the plot.
Yeah. And I know Jen and Angela are going to cover it in the future, but First Contact is one of my favorite movies because of that struggle that Data gets to deal with. And I'm sure that was a pleasure for Brent Spiner to play.
Yeah, I've heard him say at cons that Data was the easiest acting job ever because he just had to stand there and read his lines off blankly. But, you know, that's clearly a joke.
This is one of those theater sayings, acting is reacting. And having to stifle those emotions and say everything plainly and not laugh at the jokes, it has to be so hard.
And he's such a funny guy.
Yeah.
And Brent Spiner is super, duper funny. And I guess he was really the straight man. Because Data was funny. Mm-hmm. Even if not what the character intended, it was certainly, I think, what Brent Spiner intended. Because he was able to play basically the straight man for 7 years. And it was, at times, hilarious.
Considering that they're... are 7 seasons of Star Trek, 4 movie versions of with the Star Trek TNG cast, that journey has to end somewhere. I know that Brent Spiner, you know, wanted Data to die. And there was a lot of backlash that came from that.
I can understand where Brent Spiner was coming from in that he wanted to wrap up Data's storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've heard a lot of people not being big fans of B4, the kind of pre-Data android. But I think it was a bit of a tip to the fans that he loaded his memories into B4 and then he goes off singing Blue Skies. So it gives the impression that maybe Data isn't completely gone.
Yeah.
But they're still delivering B4, I think, to some institute for study, because even Data says that B4 is not like him because B4 is not sentient.
I don't know. I feel like it kind of cheapens Data's death and the importance of it. Does that make sense?
It does, because Data's death is a big deal in his humanity, if you will, because he makes the choice to sacrifice himself.
Yeah.
Although I do much prefer this outcome with Data making the choice to sacrifice himself to save his ship and his friends, to the possible future seen in All Good Things where they all drift apart and go their own separate ways, because that was upsetting.
Yeah. I did not like that. I liked the writing of it.
It was a great episode, but I did not like that future.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, according to this, which I'm on Memory Alpha, it was when he was featured a lot of the times, either a really Data-heavy episode or when Brent was playing multiple roles in the episode, that Patrick Stewart and Jonathan Frakes were directing. So him taking on most of the story is what allowed the other main characters to get in there and direct a little bit. But he did show up on, I think, both Voyager and Enterprise as either Dr. Soong or as Data or a hologram. He did not sever ties with Star Trek by any means.
Yeah. That's what I respect about Brent Spiner, is that he, you know, he doesn't shy away from the fact that he's a part of Star Trek lore. And Star Trek is just is a big part of his life. And I don't think he would turn away playing characters related to Data or Dr. Soong.
I think the TNG cast is the start of the Star Trek actors sort of embracing what Star Trek has become. Mm-hmm. So now at this point, with so many series that went really right after the other, you kind of went into it knowing what you were getting yourself into.
Right.
And that wasn't so much for TNG. They didn't think they were going to last more than a season. And based on the episodes that were playing in the first half of season one, it's sort of a surprise that they did. You know, I'm very thankful that they did.
Mm-hmm.
In one sense, it's a great job. 7 seasons and 4 movies. That's a dream. I mean, and there are so much merchandise and licensing and this and that and the other that really they'll be getting dividends from Star Trek forever. But there's a stigma attached that once you do Star Trek, you might not work.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of people, you will continue to work in Star Trek. Mm-hmm. How many times did we see actors from other series appear as other characters in the movies?
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I think I attribute the success of that first season to Patrick Stewart and Brent Spiner. I think if you ask any Star Trek fan who their favorite character is in Star Trek TNG, they're either going to respond with Picard or Data. There may be like a 1% to 5% fan base that might say something differently, or a higher percentage. I'll give you a little leeway. But I think most of them are going to say either Picard or Data.
I would agree with that.
So we should probably play an audio comment around here.
Sounds good.
Hey guys, this is Angela. I am sending in an audio comment regarding Data. What can I say about Data? He's so amazing. And my favorite character probably in Star Trek TNG. I think he is the favorite of a lot of people. I most of my favorite episodes are Data episodes or episodes in which Data is prominently featured. I know that I can't cover everything right here, and you guys are going to talk about it, obviously. But I do think, and Jen had mentioned this some time before, that maybe it was because I was young and in middle school when I first started watching TNG, and Data was just one of those characters that kind of, you know, it was kind of like puberty. He's figuring things out, and so maybe that's why I identified with him, which is weird because that's kind of why Wesley was supposed to be on, and I think they both fulfilled that role just in different ways. Also, it's a strange thing for me because I'm not really that big of a fan of robots or AI in general, but I think that the character of Data was so well written and well acted, to be frank, and I have to say that for me, too, also, sorry, too many fillers. I think that part of, or most of my affection for Data has to do with Brent Spiner. And I understand he's kind of an odd fellow in general, but I don't really care because he is just an amazing actor. Of course, the caliber, I think that something that's not known as well as we know it, because we are TNG fans, is that the caliber of acting on TNG is so amazing, and that Brent Spiner is really top-notch. I mean, people, you know, of course you take Patrick Stewart for granted because he has such gravitas, and he kind of looks Shakespearean just by looking at him. But when you see the guy in the yellow makeup and the, you know, walking and talking weird, you just don't think of that caliber of acting, but really it is. And I think one of my favorite episodes, and I didn't look it up, but it's, even though the episode is not my favorite, it's a very good Data episode where he gets possessed with that whole colony of people. And I realize it's kind of cliche, the idea of having multiple personalities or whatever, but I really think that it showed his range and how amazing, I don't know, just what an amazing actor he is. And that probably could be, like, the thesis of my audio comment is that Brent Spiner is an awesome actor, and that's why I love Data. So, anyway, I don't want to go on too long, and I hope that you're able to edit some of this because I sound like a rambling fool because it's the end of a workday. But I just wanted to put my two cents in there about how amazing Data is. And before I leave, some of my favorite Data moments are the right before he plays poker in Time Zero, and he just says, "Poker?" I always love that. And then he walks into the hotel room and he has everybody's clothes on because he won the pants off of everyone. I thought that was cool. Obviously, Measure of the Man, which we just talked about recently, is one of my favorite episodes in which he's awesome. And I also like when he, of course, plays Lore, you know. So, again, to summarize, Data's awesome because Brent Spiner's awesome. And, of course, the way it's written is awesome. And I've used the word awesome too much. So, Data, you're one of my favorites. Thanks, guys, for doing this episode. And please feel free to edit me down to make me sound not crazy. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Hello, ladies. This is Meds from Waffle On Podcast and, of course, the Anomaly Forum. And you're having a chat about Mr. Data. Well, that was almost my Patrick Stewart mode there. But not quite. Don't do Shakespeare. No, anyway, you see. Anyway, Data. I think he's an absolute fabulous character. Really good addition to the Star Trek universe. And I don't think anybody has ever matched a character like it since, really. Because you tend to have that feeling of wanting to know Data. And really looking out for him. He's a hero. He's somebody that you quite admire, the fact that his crewmates like him and become friends with him. His friendship with Geordi LaForge is really good because, you know, at the end of the day, Data in the early series doesn't have any emotion, so it's quite unusual, really, why Geordi would be friends with Data, but it just goes to show that, you know, friendship can build on anything, really. Data has a a great way of humour. Well, I should say, I suppose, Brent Spiner has a great way of playing him with humour. And I'm a huge fan of Data until he gets his emotion chip. Because I think the good thing about Data, and I admit part of it must have been because maybe Brent was getting a little bit bored of playing him being slightly wooden, I suppose, but he was always good trying to see him adjust to emotions without any kind of help. And I think it shows a lot, from my opinion, in the films. You know, all these yeah bits when they'll attack in the enemy and him being scared and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think it works because I think, and again, I'm only going on personal opinion, I think the reason why I like Data is because of the fact that he isn't human. And he's all, you know, it's like Pinocchio, isn't it? You know, it's that kind of formula. And that's what I like about him when he's struggling to, you know, not adapt to being around humans, but wanting to be more like them. And, you know, another did that wonderful episode about Measure of a Man. You know, a classic example of the reason why Data comes off so well in that is because you see the fact he's fighting to prove who he is. But he's one of the strongest characters in TNG, you know, along with Picard and Riker. Of course, everyone likes them. Riker only when he gets his beard. I pointed that out before. Before beard, pre-beard, he was he looks a bit of a weakling, really, didn't he? And so was Worf when he was all less hairy. But Data is one on there, and I think his popularity still shines, especially with Brent Spiner. Although I'm not overly keen on Brent Spiner. I think he's a bit, you know, I love seeing his impressions when he's on stage, but there's something a little bit weird about him on the creepy streaks, I think. But anyway, look, hey, I'm looking forward to hearing another one of your detailed podcasts, and really looking forward to hearing all your thoughts about Mr. Data. Okay, well, take care, ladies, and please do carry on doing a great job with the podcast. Take care.
Hi, Casey and Sue. It's Jen from Anomaly, duh. I wanted to give you my thoughts on Data as a character. I hope this isn't late, or I hope it's not too late to be used in the episode. I'm sorry about that. Just, you know, it's kind of hard to find time to record with a little toddler. David's home and he took Aaron to the park, so now I have time. I think Data is probably one of my all-time favorite Star Trek characters. Across the board. Every series has, you know, a good character in that, or more than one good character in it that I like. If I had to pick one character out of all of Trek that I love, it would be Data. And I really can't say exactly what it is about him that makes me love him so much, but I can give you an approximation of that reason, I guess. I think he is one of the most well-rounded characters. I find myself being sympathetic towards Data and his pursuit of humanity. I root for him, even though I know it's impossible for a machine to be human. I want him to be human. I want him to achieve that goal. And I think a lot of times, without even trying, he's more human at times than some of the other characters. He's childlike, and I guess in his curiosity and his exploration of humanity, and naive at times, and I find that appealing. And when I said well-rounded as a character, I also mean, I guess, his interests and his hobbies. He's talented. He's multifaceted. Not only is he a computer who can crunch numbers and spit out, you know, facts and figures and read at the speed of light, he's an artist. He's a painter. He's a poet. He's a singer. He's a dancer. I love that. And even though he is criticized about, you know, his playing, you know, the violin, he's accused of being too technical and not having any feeling. I think you got to give him some credit. He's a computer. He has no feelings. That's the closest he can get. He's trying his darndest to play the violin with spirit and fervor and heart without having one. He's the Tin Man. without a heart, you know, give him a break. And one of my favorite quotes, I won't even attempt to recite for you because the words in it are, I stumble on them too much, is his poem, Ode to Spot. I loved it. And at the time, I remember watching it years ago, and I was a little put off by the way that his audience reacted to his poem, because I thought it was pretty good for an android. Give him a break. Once again, give him a break. Another one of my favorite quotes is from Haven. And I think he was roaming around a kind of a party on the ship, a lot of dignitaries there and stuff. And he interrupted someone. Can you please continue the petty bickering? I find it most intriguing. I used to use that as a signature on the Treks and Sci-Fi forum, because at the time there were a few people on the boards. I won't say who, they know who they are. I doubt they even listen to the show, but they were a little petty and they bickered a lot about really geeky things. And I thought it was really appropriate to have that as a signature. So anyway, some of my favorite Data episodes are Time's Arrow, which we reviewed almost 5 years ago, and it's in the archive if you're interested in listening to that. A Measure of a Man, which we just released a few episodes back, this month in fact. A Fistful of Datas, which is the perfect combination of Western and sci-fi. I was raised in the sticks of South Texas, and my dad is basically John Wayne's twin brother, and I was raised watching John Wayne Westerns, and I love them. And oddly enough, my father is also a fan of Star Trek, and that's how I was introduced to science fiction, and Star Trek was through him. So it's just kind of like a blend of my two favorite things that my dad introduced me to, and I think it's the perfect episode. And I did a review of that too, a video review, which is in our YouTube channel, and you can find a link to our YouTube channel on our website and blog. Also on the YouTube channel is an episode that Dave and I, my husband, spoofed as a silent film. This isn't a popular, I don't know that a lot of people like The Offspring, but I loved it. Dave and I spoofed that, and it's in the YouTube channel as well. I did it again, YouTube. But The Offspring, I watched it for the first time as a young woman. And it really pulled at my heartstrings then, but as a parent, it really tugs at me now. And I feel for Data. Even as a being who's unemotional, that being Data, you could see him really agonizing over what's happened to his creation, his daughter. And I say agonizing, the fact is he's agonizing over not being able to feel like she does. She feels for him and he can't. And in his own way, he's agonizing, I guess. Anyway, I just really love that episode. And, there's so many I really love that Data's in, but in the future, I think I'd like to review Pen Pals and Elementary, My Dear Data. So anyway, I really am glad that you two are doing a character analysis on this awesome, awesome character. I think he's the best in all of Star Trek, hands down, the best character. If I had to pick one, it would be Data. And of course, every series has a lot of really good characters, but Data is my favorite of all time. And I'm glad that y'all are doing a little analysis on him. Thank you for doing that, and have fun, ladies. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hi there, ladies. Rick Moyer, the co-host of the Take Him With You podcast with my wife, Amy. And I am here to comment on Mr. Data. Mm-hmm. And not Mr. Data, as Pulaski, Dr. Pulaski would say, Data. All right, why do I like the Data character so much? I've liked him since the very first episode of Star Trek Next Generation. even though he's evolved a little bit, kind of like Spock did in the old series, you know, how he started out with emotions and stuff. Well, Data kind of did. He was finding his way, you know. They were trying to figure out his character at the beginning of TNG. But I have to say, he became a staple of that show in such an amazing way. And out of all the characters, him and Picard were really the ones that defined humanity, even though Data wasn't human. But the exploration of humanity and emotions and feelings, you know, the whole schmear was just so wonderful with that character. You could do so much with it. And then I'm a sucker for an android. I don't know why I like robots and androids so much, but I really do. And I mean, when I was a kid, I would take those wig holders, you know, the styrofoam wig holders, and I'd carve the face out of them and I'd put electronic parts in it and make like the fembots from the $6 Million Man. Do you know what I'm talking about? If you do, you're old. If you don't, then you haven't watched the $6 Million Man and the fembots, but they were androids. And I don't know, it was just so cool when they could take Data apart. And just the whole character was just a home run. What a hit. Gene Roddenberry, my hat is off to you, and kudos go to you for creating Data. All right, I love Data for a lot of different reasons, and you just heard some of them. Any show that was on with him was excellent, and especially when he got to act with himself on the Brothers one. Remember Brothers? What a great episode where he was Lore, Data, and Dr. Soon. That was really Noonien. That was cool. And what a great actor. I mean, hats off to Brent Spiner who made him come to life, because he really is a wonderful actor and did a great job with it. So there's my comments. I'm not going to keep rambling on because I'm obviously a Data fan. And yeah, that's just how it is. So thanks, ladies, for all you do. I love your podcast. I always learn something cool from it. And yeah, thanks everybody. Have a great day. This is Rick Moyer signing off.
Transfer complete.
Thanks everybody for your comments.
Thank you.
Really, many of the more intriguing or thought-provoking episodes in TNG have to do with Data. And those are the ones that you go back to and can watch over and over again.
Yeah. Most of the philosophy is about him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes us question what life is, what makes us human, the importance of equality for everybody. And I think we recognize ourselves in Data because we're dealing with those issues within ourselves all the time.
Isn't our lifelong journey to figure out who we are, as hokey and new age as that may sound, we're
yeah.
sort of all on that same path to really discover what it is that makes us us.
Yeah. Let me put it this way. We yearn to be Picard, but I think we're in a constant state of where Data is, where he's constantly trying to strive for the more simple things, like feeling your feelings, rather than Picard traveling across the universe to encounter other civilizations and bring peace and love. And I don't think that's what Picard is all about. And I'm totally explaining this poorly.
You just turned Picard into a hippie.
I know. But I think through Data, we're able to examine ourselves as people a little more closely. And that's why I love him.
And I can think of no better way to wrap this up.
So Into the Woods is our next focus for Anomaly Supplemental. If you haven't seen Into the Woods, the musical by Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine, it is on Netflix Instant. So watch it.
Well, if you haven't heard of Into the Woods, it's sort of like Once Upon a Time before Once Upon a Time. It takes a lot of the classic fairy tale stories and weaves them together.
And I'm sure we're going to talk about this again in the episode, but I think it's one of the first times that they combined fairy tales into one world and explored characters interacting with one another. And I think it's going to be interesting, especially with the new fascination with Once Upon a Time and Grimm and all the Snow White movies everywhere. It just seems to be a resurgence of fairy tales.
So if you're a fan of any of those, or just fairy tales in general, or really fantastic music, we encourage you to check it out and join us in July.
All right. So thank you very much for listening to Anomaly Supplemental. This is Casey.
This is Sue.
And that's the end.
And you've been listening to Anomaly Supplemental.
Redundancy.
All the cool kids keep enthusiasm rationed, right down to the last explosive ounce. But I'd rather indulge my many passions, even if my squaritude's a little too pronounced. Perhaps I
if you wish to contact the Anomaly Supplemental, you can at the email address, which is moregirlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Or if you like hearing the sound of your own voice, like I do, you can call the voicemail line at 248-419-GEEK. Yes, it's one of those numbers that you can use alphabets on, and that's 248-419-4335. To stay up to date with Anomaly and Anomaly Supplemental News, you can follow them on Twitter at Anomaly Podcast. That's the at symbol, A-N-O-M-A-L-Y Podcast. That's all one word. Check out the Anomaly blog for geeky articles and Anomaly Supplemental show notes. Find it online at anomalypodcast.com. To meet other anomalies, please join the Anomaly forums. Click on the forum icon at anomalypodcast.com. The theme music is used by permission of Marion Call. Thank you, Marion. Find out more at marioncall.com. Or, of course, you can follow her on Twitter at Marion Call. That's MarianCall. Anomaly was created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 Unported License. Oh, say that three times fast.
And I won't ever play it cool, so I won't ever once be bored. Oh, I have been a nerd since long before anyone heard that fair and scrawny was the latest fashion trend. And I still be a geek after nobody thinks it's chic, because I don't require approval.
Thank you, Memory Alpha.
My hair does not require trimming, you lunkhead.
What?